Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
This is The Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
Can't drop that on me right before we go on air. JJ, that's a terrible take.
Yeah, and I won't say it on air either because... They're sort of paying the bills.
I want tickets to Guns N' Roses, but I don't want people tickets. Because you know what I mean? Guns N' Roses are going to be full of my age drunk people. I mean, all over the place. I mean, the average age at Guns N' Roses will be?
Average age?
Yeah.
60.
No. Oh, no. That's so disrespectful.
I was going to ask, do I bring the age up or down? But I'm pretty sure I bring it down, right? Mm. The average age. You think?
No, you're right about average.
I think so.
Yeah, dude, you don't bring it down.
Like early 40s?
But you'd be surprised. A lot of young 50s. People still listen to Guns N' Roses. They're still really popular.
It's the only concert that's come through here in a long time that I want to go to. Like, I wanted to go to Kenny Chesney just more because Angie likes to go to Kenny Chesney. But... this is it. This is the only one I want to go to. And I probably won't go. It's the Sports Den brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Hopefully you guys had a great ABC weekend. Hopefully you got some cold stuff in the house now because it's back. The heat, man, that heat came back today. Back with the vengeance. You good over there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Just trying to get my energy back, man. I'm tired, man.
What happened to the Friday energy?
I'm used to, like... Now I'm used to being able to be almost done by now.
Because we did it for 1 week.
Yeah, man. We're on the home stretch.
Well, it'll be that way next week. Next week, we'll be done.
I guess. I mean, I'm going to start asking for a talent fee. The reason why, it's only one reason. Like
A talent fee?
Or something. Like, I have another gig.
A talent fee for what?
For coming in 6 to 9. That means like I literally can't work. I got to come here.
Okay.
Like, I have a job.
We'll talk off air about, like, what a talent fee actually.
Well, I mean, I know what I'm saying is talent fee,
more pay. That's what you're saying.
More pay, yeah. I'm like, I'm cool with it, but then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Now I have to completely rearrange everything going on. Hopefully everybody takes a vacation.
Yeah. Well, you're taking one the next week, aren't you? After that.
Is that? What am I supposed to be doing?
Or 2 weeks after that.
I don't know when I'm going. Yeah, 2 weeks after that.
Something like that. So Jalen spoke today?
Yeah.
With who?
It was his chef.
Adam Schefter's podcast. By the way, I realized why I never listened to Adam Schefter's podcast.
He's boring.
He had both Marone, yeah, and Jalen on. And all the questions were about, I mean, I get people like the personal side of sports, but literally like no football questions whatsoever. I mean, the one he did ask was this, and it was like a joke.
And before we let you go, just give me a quick breakdown on some of the quarterbacks you're facing this year.
man, he want to do this again, huh? You know, I'm not going to do this again, but we do.
I was about to say, I get a lot of heat for my laugh.
Yeah, that laugh's
but
awful.
Nothing compared to
it's almost
Adam
unlistenable.
Schefter.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You want to keep it going?
Yeah, what did he say?
We do play some good quarterbacks this year, of course, but probably the quarterback I'm most excited about is Nick Foles. Don't have to play against him, of course. He is my teammate. He's a great teammate. In the few interactions we've had, it's been great.
I hate this show.
Great man, great player as well. Has nothing to prove to anybody. He's a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, so I hope he, you know, comes out here, plays free, knows he has the support of everybody.
I hope he does. I hope this doesn't affect his play. No, because you know how sometimes people like try to be what they think people want you to be.
LeBron with the Heat,
yeah, and it doesn't work for you.
Oh, you think he's going to be this way on the field?
No, I hope he's not.
I don't think his comments off the field, like you said, it didn't affect any other team. I don't think it affected him last year either. Like just like I don't think. I mean, I think he is who he is. This is we've said this, we've maintained this for 3 years. This is all part of the plan. It's contract year for him. Let me go ahead and calm down a little bit. Let me get this money. Last year, I needed to up my profile a little bit. I was coming off a big year. It's genius. It's good. Okay. And to be fair, like, they were 5-11. What's he going to say? It's easy to talk crap when you were a Miles Jack wasn't down from the Super Bowl. It's a little harder when your team stunk. Like, what are you going to say? Yeah, they're trash, but they all beat us last year. I mean, how does that come out? And really what he said about Nick Foles is the exact same thing he said the first day of minicamp. We were all standing there. And I disagree with him. He don't have anything to prove thing. Nick
he's
Foles.
Oh, he's talking about Nick Foles' app? Yeah. Yeah, Nick Foles got plenty to prove.
He's got a lot to prove, yeah. I mean, the last time Nick Foles went into a situation where he was paid handsomely and was a starter, it didn't go well.
That's what we're told to forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for Jalen. Good for Jalen. I heard you and Rick talking about it in crosstalk about Rick saying, you know, he's not getting much play on this. I mean, what is there to say?
I like this Jalen. We're happy Jalen's matured.
Now, because you know the Jalen haters are never going to say they like this Jalen. It doesn't matter what he does. Mm-hmm. They'll just be quiet. It's like they're not going to come out and go, oh, yeah, this is a good Jalen.
This
just gonna
is exactly what I wanted from him. Like, yeah. You know, you don't ever applaud the behavior that you want.
Mm. Oh, that's like against the law these days. No way. Crazy. Big weekend in recruiting.
Yeah.
In recruiting. When is dead period? Now?
Is it? Yeah, today.
So when is Friday Night Lights?
Friday Night Lights is it opens back up in
July.
So like they have like that 3 or 4 day window, and that's when they all tend to do theirs, which was shocking. Like, did Leon go to Paradise Camp, JJ?
I don't believe so.
Because that's why I was shocked. Because a lot of UM fans were like, the reason why they pushed Paradise Camp up was because they have a game 1 week. I mean, their game is up
week one, yeah.
But then Florida still having Friday Night Lights. From what I understand, the same time that they always have it. And the FSU will have their Saturday Night Live or whatever they call it.
I doubt it's called Saturday Night Live.
No, it's called something. Like, it's not lights because it's during the day. But Saturday Night, I mean, it's something Saturday SNL. I do know that.
The Willie Taggart Football Camp.
No, Willie Taggart Football Camp just happened.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, it's called Saturday Night Live event.
Yeah. Huh? But I'm with you, JJ. It probably is copper. I guess they just there's a lot of things that go out against.
They probably didn't probably check don't want to go
up
that,
and, probably don't want to go up against a bunch of high school kids doing a football camp. It's probably
worse. I don't know, man.
After seeing the MLK tweet, I'll just believe that they probably didn't even check. They were not worried about it.
But nah, Taggart's been calling it that since he was at USF. So it's not. It's like not a new thing.
He takes it with him.
Yeah, he took it to Oregon and took it to.
I mean, I guess you can just call your thing Saturday Night Live.
I thought it should have been Saturday Night Lights. Like have it at night.
I like that.
And you know whatever, but Tag does what he does.
Well, Florida is up to 17 commits after today.
Man, they've been getting after it, man. And they've got.
They're in the running for some.
They've got two more. That I know are pretty. They're gonna get Leonard out of Cocoa, high school offensive lineman is pretty good, and they got a defensive end that's gonna commit to them from Virginia. That's a 4-star. So that's two more 4-stars, that are actually the kid from Virginia. I don't know much about him because you know Florida State wasn't in it, but Leonard, that one's gonna hurt. That one's good. That's a good one. He's gonna be good.
Still their highest rated. Is a high 4-star in Gervin Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Like high enough 4-star where he could get the 5th.
Nah. Huh? That's one that – I'm not saying – that's one that Florida – if Florida fans want to know who should we be worried about, like that might be the one that you might – that might end up flipping. But he might stick. That's a good ball player too.
And then – so he's the 42nd ranked player in the country according to 24/7. And then Leonard Manuel, 67. And then Derek Wingo was the big get this weekend.
From Penn State.
Yeah, he was committed to Penn State from St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. And he is ranked 165th nationally.
He's good.
I don't know anything about him. I saw Florida Twitter blow up whenever he committed. I thought, oh, okay, well, good. The Trevez Johnson kid from Bartram Trail. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Have you seen him?
Mm-hmm.
He's a kid that, like, Florida's taken a jump on. They're the first big one to get on, and that's where he wanted to go. So I think that's probably what made him jump a little bit. But now that his name is out there, I'm going to be interested to see what happens with his rankings. He's a good player. But the biggest offer he had, I mean, if you look at his offer list before, it wasn't impressive. I mean, it wasn't impressive. Boston College is impressive, right? I mean, it's an ACC offer. But there wasn't Alabama, there wasn't Georgia, there wasn't – they had North Carolina, he had Nebraska, he had Virginia Tech. The kid can get it. He can run. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I think he's, from what I'm being told, he's a hard commit. He's done. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, like, with his rankings. I don't think he's not an opening guy, is he? He's not going to go into the opening.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what'll happen. But he's the first local guy that Florida's gotten. They didn't get one last year, did they?
They got the offensive lineman from Sandalwood. He flipped from Miami.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I completely forgot that he flipped. Okay. Well, and then we've got the kid – Chance Williams, he's down to what, Florida, Georgia, LSU? That's his final three?
Yes, Florida, Georgia, LSU.
And so he's going to be committing in July. So, I mean, they're still in the running for that one. But Florida's in the running for a few. It'll be interesting to see how they close it. Nothing's going to happen these next couple weeks, I don't think. But it'll be another.
No, it will. Next week.
Next week?
Yep. It's going to be a good 4th of July.
Okay. For
Florida.
Why does that happen during dead period?
I mean, there's really no such thing as a dead period.
What is dead period now? Camps?
Yeah, camps and coach.
Like initiated contact?
Initiated contact.
So the kids can still call
coaches? Yeah, kids still call coaches, and coaches can still put something. They can still DM. They can still do a lot of things, and they can say, hey, call me. And they're, you know.
I'm going to be honest. I can't keep up with this crap. Like, the NCAA has flipped so many times on this social media policy. I can't keep up what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do because, like, I'll hear a team say, well, you're not supposed to be talking to coaches while they're talking to the kid. Like, getting on to another school about it. I'm like, man, y'all just.
Like, you can't have the kids on your campus. But somebody dropped some real good knowledge, which I would do. If I were FCS school, this is when I would be having all my camps. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't apply to them. And you know who, if it were me, who I would encourage to have those camps? Because I could probably work them. If I were like an FBS school that was just nonstop recruiting and always looking for the next guys to see who was under a rock, I would, like, if I'm FSU, if I'm Taggart and I'm developing a really good relationship with Simmons, I would encourage and try to figure out how to help FAMU have a camp and push kids toward that camp and make that camp be as successful as possible. If I'm UF, maybe going over to I don't really know how close it is, but, you know, going over to Daytona with BCU and so on and so on. But those would be interesting things. Or the NAIA schools. I know it's not – I mean, they probably feel like they don't need to do it, but it would just be an interesting –
yeah.
Recruiting strategy.
I think you would get some kickback from the coaches. Like, the couple I've talked to is like, we need this break.
Well, no. They take their break. And I remember when Bowden was coaching, this is when he would – in July is when he would do the Bowden retreat. They were going – the coaches would go on a cruise with their families and relax and, you know, do some of your planning. And your players, you know, get a chance to still get better in the weight room, still push. So, I mean, I can understand that.
It's a different grind now than it was then, though.
Well, I doubt it. Recruiting is very much so year round. The development of players is really heavily done by your strength and conditioning coach and things like that. And the players run their own 7-on-7, you know, footwork type stuff after practice and things like that. But it's still like you've got to stay on top. If you don't contact these guys, you know, that's when these guys start feeling some type of way.
By the way, what you just said about the 7-on-7 thing is why you need a veteran quarterback. It's why Florida and Georgia and Alabama are going to be a little bit ahead of the game when it comes to that. Because that's who's running these 7-on-7s. It ain't strength coach. It's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Fromm's running 7-on-7. Felipe's running 7-on-7. If you're down there in Miami, I don't know. I have no idea like how that's all going. Blackman's running 7-on-7.
It's easier when you have an idea of who your actual coach. I mean, not coach. You have an idea who you're starting.
And that quarterback has a history with the OC and with the head coach and kind of knows, okay, this is how this thing should go. You're really behind if you don't have that. Because they're getting it in 2 or 3 days a week. That's just extra reps.
Is it two? I think I remember we had our – you had your weights. We had our – I mean, everybody does it different. I'm trying to remember my time. I remember doing weights in the morning, or if I really was just being lazy, get that last – afternoon workout in, go right into the 5 o'clock conditioning period, and then right after conditioning is when we will have our 7-on-7 or do whatever else you need.
Yeah, a lot of them are doing it right after that morning session though.
I mean,
it's different everywhere. A lot to get into. I found this interesting piece today on predicting where the NFL's next wave of star quarterbacks could land. And it's kind of interesting as to who they consider the NFL's next wave of star quarterbacks and who they think they're going to go. There was one on this list that's like, I can see that. And it's Fromm and where they're predicting he's going to go. We'll get to that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
It is The Sports Den, Monday night. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah.
You went to Tally, right?
Yeah, I went home. Mom's rehab is going well.
She's doing well?
She's strong.
Good.
Spent absolutely hardly any time with us.
Really?
Yeah, she was out the house. She's not supposed to be driving, but she said, bump them kids.
Mm.
And decided to drive all around town. So, I mean, it was good. Went to my cigar lounge there that I'm a member at, and just vibe. Talked a lot about the tailgate. A lot of people excited. So
how's that going?
It's going good. I mean, right now it's just
planning's good.
Just planning right now. Dead period.
You got like confirmations on former Knowles that are coming?
Yeah. Everybody says Snoop, Dub, Blade.
Who? Who's the last one?
Deidre Dodge.
Oh.
Two-time All-American, got three championship rings. He was in the World Football League the 1 year they had it and won a ring there, won a Super Bowl with the 49ers, won a Super Bowl with the Broncos.
And what game is this for?
The Boise State game.
Oh. So you're not doing anything special for the Miami game?
Oh, of course I am.
Okay.
The Boise State game.
What would you think if, like, a certain producer stopped by?
Oh, slide through. You're good with me.
Even if I have another fellow Hurricane?
Not
school.
A problem.
All right,
not
cool.
A problem. You're good to go. Probably my boy Ricky the Prince.
I don't know, man. After that video I saw.
I mean, I told Ricky, man, you good, man. You in Tallahassee, you good with me. Y'all going to lose anyway, so you can do all that cursing. So, I mean, they'll console you. But I told him I got him, and this is going to be a couple. It'll be a couple Hurricane fans there. At that tailgate.
Well, speaking of Hurricane fans, I think next segment we're gonna have Leon Searcy. Apparently he's got a little beef with us that we got to get into, and I'll get to that in just a minute. This was interesting though. This Bleacher Report article, this is slow news, right? So basically, what they did was they took what they feel is the best quarterbacks in the college game, and where do they see them landing? Where do they see them the best fit? Some of these are coming out this year. Some of these are coming out over the next couple of years. The one that just caught my eye, like, you can go through it. You know the guy in Houston, that Eric King? He's the quarterback down there. Like, I've heard multiple people over the summer talk, like, rave about this cat. So they mentioned him. He had 36 touchdowns, 6 picks last year. And then he had 675 yards rushing on top of that. Mm. Hearing a bunch of people speak really highly of him. Like, they say he'll go to the Chargers. They say that the kid from Oregon, Justin Herbert, will go to the Bengals. And I'll kind of scroll down this. I want to spend some time on Jake Fromm because it's an interesting fit where they've got him. Trevor Lawrence, the Oakland Raiders. Tua to Miami. This is Tua's. I don't know that Tua's going to come out, but he could come out after this year. Let me come back to Jake. KJ Costello from Stanford to the Patriots. Let's see what else. Okay, and then Jake Fromm. So I've made it known that I think Jake's got a chance of winning a Heisman this year, but I don't think he's going to be the number one overall pick like people are saying. I'm not sure he's going to be a first-round pick. Just I've got arm strength. But tell me this doesn't make all the sense in the world. The New Orleans Saints.
That's where they're saying Fromm's going to go?
They're saying that would be the best fit.
I agree.
I do too. Like right when I saw it, I thought, okay, I'm a Saints fan. Never even thought about Fromm and Breeze. And I'm not saying that Fromm's going to end up being Drew Breeze, but I mean, that would be a great landing place for him.
Mm-hmm.
Be a great coach for him. After thinking more about this, I do think Jake does come out if he has a good year after this year, just like I think Felipe will come out. I still don't think he's going to be top 15, but if you saw the right fit, if you saw the Saints, and you can even put the Chargers in there behind Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers doesn't have the best arm in the world, but they know how to use that.
I mean, I think it's going down. I've always, like, people said that about him and Drew Brees, but I told you the story about the visor with Drew Brees. And Phillip Rivers, I've seen him shred defenses up.
Oh, yeah.
They know where they're going. Like, it's a lot to say when you know where you're going. And they get enough zip. Trust me, it gets there.
I don't think – does people think that Drew Brees has a weak arm?
During that time, it was more so because of the surgery that he had. They didn't think his arm strength was going to be back.
All right. Are you responding to text in there?
Not right now, no.
He was.
Like 20, 30 minutes ago.
No, it's just...
The guy was trying to troll us, and he couldn't even get the name right.
Bro, I'm just completely ignoring him. Like, you can... I'm done with the dude. Completely done with him. So, I just saw the last one, and I was like, oh, dear.
Did y'all... go at it or something?
No, it's the same crap every night.
He doesn't trust Dini's quarterback evaluations.
No, he don't. There's nothing about our show that he ever. Never mind. I'm not even getting into it.
Plus, Steve Farrell is not even that good.
As the guy
is. Is that that guy? Yeah. I don't hate him.
It's Scott Farrell, isn't it?
Or Scott, yeah, this guy. Yeah, see, this guy made me think it's Steve. Fool.
Huh? Steve Bro, Farrell, isn't that the
I don't know. He's a CBS radio guy. Oh. I shouldn't make fun of him. He's way better at his career than I am. So,
bro, I don't even know what he's saying. When we left last week, they'd have him on for an hour before Chuck Oliver came out. And so I get in my truck, and he's just screaming at me. I'm like, I don't even know what he's talking about. He's like, he's kind of got that Jim Rome thing going on where he's got his own language. You know what I mean? And I'm lost. I meant to actually Google him. How do you spell his last name? I didn't see what this dude looks like. Is Scott Farrell like CBS radio? Anyway, back to my point on Jake Fromm.
Wow, he's not what I thought he would be. You think he'd be like a fat guy? He's not a fat guy at all.
No, I didn't think he'd be. You thought he'd be fat?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't think...
Like, smokes a million packs a day.
Wait a second. Like, every picture of him looks completely different, though.
No.
Are you on Google Images?
That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
Does he have red hair, gray hair, or black hair?
Oh, his hair, his hair does change. Okay, here he is with Howard. I like him.
It's settled?
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't have liked him if he was fat. I'm not saying that. I'm skinny fat guy myself.
Huh. Like that picture of him screaming into the microphone is exactly how I pictured him. Like that's exact. Can you? Never mind. I'm not. I'm going to toe the company line here. just to wrap up, you know, I want you to get to this Leon Searcy thing.
Okay, so if you are a loyal listener to the Sports Den, you know that there is an ongoing joke on this show about a member of the Marley family, Rohan, who used to play at the University of Miami, who there is a highlight tape. He played at the University of Miami, and he had a highlight tape that, I mean, James has made fun of since I've been working on this show.
It's the worst highlight film I've ever seen in my life.
And I believe that Leon not only played with Rohan, but roomed with Rohan. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. So I work on the afternoon show with Leon, so I was like, dude, come on and defend your boy, because he was at Paradise Camp. Rohan was giving out interviews. I knew James would see that. He would get triggered. So I was like, this is the perfect time to come on.
So Leon wants to defend Rohan.
Yeah. Oh, that's my alarm going off right now to call Leon.
He's 5'8".
No.
I did not realize he was 5'8".
We're about to get the truth.
All right, so that we'll get to that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Sports Den brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Coming to you from the ThinMD Med Spa Studios. Get a little hurricane talk in, a little Kane talk. You're like the legends. Is that what he is?
That's what they say. I mean,
I know you're not talking about Leon.
No, we're talking about Rohan.
No, Rohan. Leon is
easily
a legend
on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, Leon is a legend, but apparently Rohan is a staple, a legend.
I mean, I saw the tweet, and I retweeted it. I was very complimentary because people think I hate him. I'm like, yo, that's how a camp should be done. And they're like, all they're like, I'm posting. They were saying on the second tweet, we're going to stop. The first tweet, and it's weird because Irvin is gaining weight and Warren is losing it. So they look like they're trading this weight off. Then they had the quarterback that I can't remember that. I know all kids want to be like the guy who Frangie used to do play by play with.
Geno.
Yeah, they had Geno because you know every kid wants to be Geno Suerto now. And so, but the first four.
That's what the youngins are talking about.
The first four were legit.
How dare you?
Then the next ones, it was two good ones, and then they put Rohan, and the guy was like, I'm going to stop right here. That's just a few. I'm like, I didn't know Rohan up there with Murder. With Murder Ray.
Big Leon.
It's some cold linebackers that came through to you.
Big Leon, what's going on, man?
What's going on, gentlemen? Y'all trying to make a mockery of my paradise.
No, we're no, okay. Hey, before we get into this, though,
I sense it in your tone.
Have you seen the Rohan Marley highlight film?
I saw the Rohan Marley highlight tape, and the mass majority of the tape, he's making tackles 5 to 7, 10 yards down the field. I give you that. It was no plays where he really blew up, but Rohan, listen, you're 5'8", 205, okay? Essentially, you don't necessarily recruit a kid like that to come to the University of Miami. But he had a namesake, and I believe I didn't see him play in high school, but I just assume Miami did their due diligence and they offered him a scholarship, which I don't remember too many 5'8", 205-pound linebackers at Miami, and he probably was the first.
His energy just based on that highlight film, forget the actual plays.
Yeah,
but like. To see him talk, like when I first saw it, like Leon, I'm gonna tell you the reason why I was expecting to see
because
anarchy
of his body
and
language.
Violence because of the body language. The first time I watched it, I didn't watch it with any noise, but I just know because me and you have been together in a room where we're eating and we're looking at football, and you start talking trash, and there's something that it's that trademark lean that all good football players have when like somebody's talking, like and you laugh and you giggle and you're about to tell a good story. So I thought I was about to see somebody get pummeled. But then I seen him miss two tackles on the same play.
And that made his highlight.
And that was the highlight.
Not every game was on television back then. Jeez.
We're not going to age, Leon.
Every game was filmed.
Listen, it wasn't the best highlight tape. Let me just say that. I watched it for the first time. It wasn't the best highlight tape. You got to remember, when Rohan came to the University of Miami in 1991, we already had stellar linebackers there already. I mean, we had Jesse Armstead, Michael Barrows, and Darren Smith. So he wasn't going to sniff the playing field at all. The only remnants I have of Rohan is him being on the scout team. He was a weak side linebacker, and I was playing left tackle at the time. And he would always bury his head in there for whatever play he could make. Most of the time, he got lit up. I mean, because
but he was tough, though. He was tough.
He was tough.
That's
he
what
was
I'm
tough.
Saying.
He had the heart of a lion. I mean, he had good speed. He had good effort. But he was overshadowed. You got to remember those guys I just mentioned. And then the next year, 92, comes in Ray Lewis. So it's only so much time he was going to get when you got four stellar linebackers in front of him. But I know for the most part, they tutored him. They were under his tutelage. And he made noise when he got in there. He wasn't an outstanding player. He was kind of like, dare I say it, The Rock. He was there. He made plays every now and then. But he had too much talent that was around him that overshadowed.
Did you room with Rohan?
No, I didn't room with Rohan. But I got a good Rohan story. I remember when I came back, when I went to the Steelers in 92, in the offseason, I used to come back to Miami and train. So when I came back and trained, I went up to the coach's lounge, and Coach Erickson came up to me, called me in his office, and told me, "Hey, Leon, I need you to take this schedule." I said, "Okay." He said, "I need you to get Warren Sapp and Rohan Marley to start going to class." I said, "Coach, I don't play here no more." He said, "I don't care." He said, "I need you to go there." So I go to their room. I bang on the door. They say, "What?" I said, "Open the damn door." I said, "Sir, sir's who?" I said, so I told them to open the door. So I went in there with their schedule. They opened the door. They're both in their drawers playing video games, knowing that they got class.
This was Rohan and who?
Sapp. They were roommates in college.
There was definitely weed smoking going on in that room.
Allegedly.
Well, I didn't want to implicate anybody. But it's
fine.
I mean, they're playing video games in their drawers in college in Miami. Yeah, and with a Marley.
Rohan Marley.
Exactly.
It was some good ass weed. Guaranteed.
I know what the trick was. I know why he got the scholarship offer. It wasn't about his play. Because what happened is during those times, you had to have guys that may not necessarily, and it's still to this day, they may not be your great Hall of Fame players on the field. But they're the guy that you want to send that top recruit with on a visit so that they'll have a visit that you can remember. And there's no way you can't tell me, because I know he wasn't smoking Reggie back then. He was smoking the good stuff in, that blue from the Blue Mountains. Whatever. So they put him in there. He probably, though
he had game too. He's getting all the girls.
Even though he recorded one tackle in his career, I'm pretty sure if we look at what recruits.
That's a lie. He had
95
and
93. Damn.
Where are you looking at? I've been looking.
Wait. 1993, he had 95 tackles now.
Because we legit looked up his stats on Miami's site.
Like, it said no stats recorded.
They weren't really trying to look it up, Leon.
No, we didn't try that hard.
I looked it up. He had 95 and 93.
Okay.
That's solid.
Yeah, eat that.
Because then that was only, 13 games?
Yeah, that was maybe 12 games. 93, 11 plus the bowl, yeah.
That's actually pretty solid. I apologize, Rohan. Why didn't you put any of those in your dang highlight film?
Did he have Lauryn Hill around? Like, was that back then?
No.
He met her in 96, is what it's saying.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was dating Lauryn Hill. I remember coming back a couple of times, and I remember seeing her. And, me being in league and all, and I was like, what is he doing with her? I said, I forgot Marley. Okay. That name goes along with that.
Hey, let's. I got to ask you about something, because you mentioned how you used to go and work out in the off season. Like, does that still happen down there? Because that used to be a really highly publicized thing and a really cool thing, where all the former Canes would go down there and work out with the current Canes. Is that still going on? We're just not hearing about it.
I don't know if they do it as much nowadays, but I know that when I was playing. You didn't have a choice. It was almost an obligation for a former player, if you was in the league, to come back and work out with the guys, watch film with the guys, run with the guys, just to embark any wisdom that you may have about the NFL to the younger guys on what it's going to take to play at the next level. So that started a long time ago. That started maybe 85, 86. And all the older guys would always come back and teach the younger guys. And then as you got older and went to the league, I mean, it was almost an obligation for you to come back and work out with the guys to teach them. It was kind of like, you know, helping a baby walk. I mean, you wanted to make sure that those guys, younger guys, saw the guys in the league working out with and playing with and to inspire them to, you know, keep the team afloat and also help them make it to the next level.
Did you like doing that, though? As an NFL guy, did you like going back there?
To Miami?
To work out there.
Yeah, I worked out there.
I'm saying, did you like that part of it? I know you like going to Miami, but thinking like NFL guy.
I like working out there. I never had an issue with me working, because when I was with the Steelers, you know, I always would tell the Steelers, "Hey, listen, in the preseason, I'm not going to be here working out and training. I'm going back to Miami to train." And Bill Cowher never had a problem with it. As long as I came back in shape, I didn't have any issues with me not being around until I came to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I came to Jacksonville, but, you know, they had a big problem when I signed my big contract, and everybody was like, "Where you at, Leon? Where you at?" They made it seem like I took the money and ran, but I had already had a regimen that may be an ascending all pro, and I didn't want to do anything that was going to mess that up. But the Jaguars had a problem, unfortunately, with me signing the big deal and going back to Miami.
I'm assuming that was Coughlin related.
Oh, there it is. You said it, not me.
He's been consistent.
Doesn't take a genius.
He's been consistent.
Later, still the same dude. Hey, last thing, we'll let you get back to your night. You and I have a little wager on this, a friendly wager, on Florida-Miami down in Camping World Stadium. And here's what I found funny about this wager, Leon, is the line's 8.5, and I told you 14. And you told me, "Man, that's disrespectful. Like, I'm going to take it, but that's disrespectful. You're not even betting the line." And then you turned right back around to Hacker and did the same thing to him. You said, I'll bet it straight up."
Well, what were you expecting me to say? y'all been pulling my coattails for the past couple of months. I had to show some pride in my school.
Oh, there's so much disrespect on this show, Leon.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm talking saying they – Denny loves this line that the Vols game against Tennessee is bigger game than the Miami game. And he said it 1,000 times.
It'll be closer.
Say it again.
It'll be closer. The Tennessee game will be closer than the Miami game.
Even if it is closer, let's just say the game – and I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying let's say it is a closer game. To still say that's a bigger game – than playing us, who you never play,
bro,
is asinine.
Leon, now take the Miami thing out of this. Can you see where I'm going with that? It's an SEC game that's every single year rival. If you tell me we only can win one of them, I'm gonna pick Tennessee.
I can see that.
But you play them again next year. You'll have get back next year. You don't ever play it.
No, it's an SEC game and it's a rivalry game that we play every single year.
I'm dealing with Leon every night.
Leon, am I wrong on this or no?
You dead air is wrong on this.
Thank you.
You think the Miami game is bigger?
You know in your heart you are.
Yes,
no, I don't.
Oh, my God.
He's trolling. He's trolling.
He is trolling. You know you're getting nothing out of me, though. I'm going to wait. Listen, today is 60 days away.
Ooh. Countdown.
Is it really?
Florida.
Yeah, the
24th. Can we reclaim Florida?
What's the
price?
That just gave me goosebumps when you said that.
What's the price limit on this bourbon wager we got?
Huh?
What's the price limit on this bourbon wager?
I mean, we'll make it at 100.
All right. We can go there.
I'll take you to the store where the one I like when we win.
It's got to be ABC.
They're the sponsor of our
show.
Yeah,
we can't really go anywhere.
but ABC.
ABC's got some great bourbon. That larceny bourbon is outstanding.
Hell yeah.
All right. If that's the deal. That's
make
a deal,
them throw
man.
Some cigars in there, too.
Nah,
hey, Danny, do you smoke cigars? I could throw some cigars in there.
Nah, I'm good, but I'll get you some.
Okay. You say you didn't know. You see, that was subliminal. You say you'll get me
he
some.
Already knows.
No, I'm going to get you some either way.
Oh, that's a good
okay.
Why didn't you go to the Paradise Camp?
I'm going next year. I've already stamped my name for next year.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, before we leave Leon, I don't know if the Sports Den knows that, but Leon is now the new play-by-play on television for all the preseason games for the Jags.
Is that right?
Or not play-by-play, color
commentary.
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
Yes.
See, Leon, you're getting big time, man. We just appreciate you spending a couple minutes with us. I guess we're going to send a check now, aren't we?
Nah, you're good. I enjoy your show. I listen in, baby. Y'all.
Appreciate it. Appreciate
all right, brother. We appreciate it, Leon, man. It's a legend right there.
All right,
there.
Appreciate you, gentlemen.
All right, man. He's Miami Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If he's not, he should
oh,
be.
Oh, definitely.
No, he is. I think he was inducted, like, what, 2 years ago?
The year for sure, but he definitely is.
I think it was last year he got in. Now, I don't know where the Hall of Fame banner goes, but.
In the practice field, in the indoor.
Okay, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, dude was an all-pro in Jacksonville.
Like, I have a crazy stat about Leon when it comes to his NFL. That is, like, when he told me this, I had to, like, walk out of the room because I'm like, I don't deserve to be around you. And every year he played in the NFL, his team made the playoffs.
Really?
He never didn't make the playoffs.
Wow.
That's absurd.
That's,
wow.
Can he still kick slot? He's got to be just as good as some of the guys we have.
Oh, some of the Jags right now? Definitely.
Yeah. It was good to have him on. Like, I'm glad he came on and set the record straight on the tackles, because I really legit thought Rohan had no stats.
Oh, he came with his facts.
So that's good to know.
Statistically speaking, he does not know what a condom is. He's got like 9 kids.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. No, he's only got 7. You're thinking of Bob Marley.
Only 7?
Bob Marley had 9 baby mamas.
Oh, okay. That's I read the wrong. So he has 5 with Lauren, and then so 2 with the other girl when he was in college. He was active.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He and Cromartie were hanging. Cromartie kept going. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be.
You mad, bro?
1010XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
8 o'clock brought to you by Luce Air Quality. That's L-U-C-E Air Quality.com. Environmental testing for your home or your business. They now have a machine that reads your air quality right away and can generate a report as quickly as you want it, right there on the spot. That's Luce Air Quality, the only people in town with that machine. So if you've got a need, give them a call, have them come out. You probably don't know anybody that does this anyway, so we're telling you. But they are the best in the business. You can give them a call at 904-803-1014. That's 904-803-1014. Air or environmental testing for your home or your business. You got a 8 o'clock coming off the weekend?
Well, it's not based on a weekend. It's really, I'm not a fan of Zach Smith. I'm not a fan of him.
I think you're becoming one.
I am a fan of a good product.
Have you heard the podcast that we're getting to?
This podcast is really good.
I haven't heard it.
I haven't either. I keep meaning to listen to it.
He had a Gator one, didn't he?
Well, he talks about Gator. He talks a lot because he was at UF during the Meyer administration. And he actually does a lot, gives a lot of insight between how Urban Meyer changed from what he did, or seemingly changed, from how he approached UF to Ohio State. He admits that Urban left because he had lost control. But one thing, and I want to get your opinion on it, because this is one thing I'm hating on. Then there's another thing too. He talked about Cam Newton in today's podcast and Dan Mullen, which is ironic when you look at the quarterback recruits that Dan Mullen gets right now. Who would you say Dan Mullen's recruits kind of, what kind of quarterback actually kind of fits that mold?
Yeah, big dual threat guy.
He says that Dan Mullen absolutely hated everything about Cam Newton as a quarterback before the laptop situation.
As a quarterback or as a person? Or what,
like, as a quarterback, like, did not want him in his room, consistently asked that he be moved to the tight end, said he did not want to coach him. He said that he was not any good. He wanted Brantley or the other guy, another quarterback, excuse me. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But I'm sitting here thinking in my head, like, and Zach Smith's words were, had Dan Mullen actually approached him and actually developed him, he could have been even better and could have been that next quarterback. at UF. I'm just like, just some of the things that he said about Mullen, I am shocked that more UF fans aren't like taking the step back from arguing with FSU and Miami Twitter and like unloading on Zach Smith.
So let me ask you something about this. And I hate that you told me that story because I was gonna start with this when you mentioned him. At what point do you listen to this guy and go, who the hell knows if he's even telling the truth on any of this?
That should always be in the back of your mind.
Yeah, but it always is, and you don't know. But he's told so much truth, good, bad, and ugly, not just about himself, about, well, he, even when he says something bad about Urban, he goes right back onto the Urban love boy thing. He loves himself some Urban Meyer.
How do you know he's telling the truth about himself, though? Because that was the whole thing. Like, he's still denying all that stuff.
I don't know what happened with all those things. I assume I personally err on the side of believing that he did do more.
That he's a turd.
But he tells more. Like, it's always – it's three sides to every story. Mm-hmm. His side, I guess I'll say her, but not necessarily meaning her, and then the truth. And when he tells some of his stuff, it does sound consistent. You know, whatever.
Listen, when Jose Canseco came out with all that stuff, everybody was like, oh, what a clown, what a liar.
Until they find out he was telling the truth.
He was telling the truth about literally everything. Like,
okay, so I'm sure there's a lot of truth to what he's saying. And maybe this Mullen thing, I'm not even talking about Mullen specifically. But at some point, like, he's going to run out of material. And how do you know at that point that
That's the thing that people who aren't listening to it, all right, so it's an hour podcast. Mm-hmm. And it may be, if people ask, he's not just giving this information, just saying, okay, I'm going to pick on Mullen today. He takes questions and answers. So people ask him specifically about certain things, and he gives it. But really, I won't even knock it. You would like it because of his football knowledge.
Yeah,
how he talks about football. What he talks about football, the game prep, who handles what during the Urban Meyer's times, what he talks about with the recruiting stories. You listen to this stuff, and the reason why I believe it is because you hear like that's not a new recruiting story. Now, some of the stuff about Dan Mullen having an illegitimate child, I have no idea if that's true. It was funny because I just think I can't fathom any other woman wanting to be with Dan Mullen besides his wife. And I'm still having a hard time wrapping my mind around that one. Because just how Dan, he's really quirky. You don't look at him as, I'm Dan Mullen, I'm about to go start pulling some chicks. Herman kind of believed that. But some of the stuff is outrageous.
Bro, what he said about Herman. I read the quotes on that.
About the airline stewardess?
Yeah.
That one was again, some of the stuff, remember, how, you know, some of the stories that I said. And I've talked with TJ about it, talked to my mom, she listens. People who actually know me and know, like the story about the lady who came and did the drug test. Uh-huh. Me telling you that, most normal people be like, nah, there's no way. But if you like really know me, it's so outrageous that the truth is stranger than fiction, some of the stories. Like, I could probably tell some people a story that's a lie, and they'll completely believe it. But when I tell you the truth, you'll be like, there's no way all of that happened.
Like, the best, like, coaches probably, in every level, high school, college, pro, have some of the best stories if you ever get them to start. Like, they have to remember them, mm-hmm. right? Because it's every day. There's a new story. So I'm sure, like, there's a lot of truth. But I just, that's always, and again, I promise you it's not about the Mullen thing. I can see that with Cam. But I don't know, man. Ever since it's come out with this podcast, I'm like, I don't know how much of this I would actually believe.
I mean, I don't know. Some of the stuff with whistleblowers is that nobody ever believes them until there's an actual trackable,
right?
Until somebody comes in and it proves that they're right. But
you got to remember about Cam Newton, though. You've seen Cam.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big individual.
Mm-hmm.
He is. I mean, people around here, if you saw Mercedes Lewis, that's like Cam Newton.
But you know what I think, though, when I see Cam Newton? Like, I knew Ant was big.
Yeah.
And I know his coach. I didn't know how big
Anthony Richardson
was
the
until I actually saw him in person.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the thing that I'm like, if I'm, you know, you could go and push it off, but I'm like, dang. Because the first thing I thought about was like, dude, you're recruiting. It's ironic because you're recruiting nothing but Cam Newton.
That's a very good point. No, that's a very good point.
But it also goes to the growth of a coach.
What's
He might have been like at that time.
Never mind, I'll tell you off air.
At that time, all he might have thought was, like, I can't make this kid work. But then you see what this kid has done, and you're like, man, maybe I should have made this kid work.
Now, you know what? That's bad radio. I'm not going to say that. The comparison that I've heard out of Florida with Anthony Richardson's Cam Newton.
I believe it.
Like, that's directly from Florida.
The only thing I would say is probably Atlanta quarterback. I don't remember Cam Newton as a – I was playing then, so I don't really – well, I was playing, but I didn't play, like, against him or anything. But, like, I didn't dive into his high school film. So I don't know what his team was like. Man. I was – but when he – Tebow came in 06. No, I had just got done, so I wasn't really
– Yeah.
I got done, and then I didn't look at football at all for, like, a year.
Because he was, like, 2011.
Oh,
at Auburn,
when he
right?
came out. Yeah, but he came. He was an 08, like an 08 class.
That's right, because he
was in trouble and he went to junior That's college.
That's right. Yeah.
It was like 2 years between him and Tebow.
Yeah.
But I don't remember watching him in high school. So I don't know if his high school was good. I mean, I assume they were good. But I don't know how – but I do know Ant is very raw in a lot of places. Like, he's going to be a – no matter what, even at Elite 11, what you're doing, he's still going to be a project when he goes to college. He's not a day one starter. But when he figures it out, it's going to be really good.
I was telling somebody today, the thing that I didn't give the Anthony Richardson kid enough credit for, and Anthony Richardson is the Gainesville Eastside quarterback who is the commit to Florida, for people listening. The dude is crazy smart. Like, I mean, legit smart, mm-hmm. smart. Like, to the point where, like, application is not a problem for him. So if he gets somebody that just stays on him, and I can't do it because I'm not right. close enough, but every single day with this stuff, he is going to be.
His coach is more of a defensive guy.
But he's the right guy for him because it's like his coach is more of a player's guy. Like, he's going to make sure that Anthony does the stuff he's supposed to do. But, no, I'm beyond excited about Anthony Richardson, but it's interesting to hear that and to hear the quotes out of Florida to me being, you are comparable with Anthony as Cam Newton.
Would you have taken $1,500 to switch seats on a plane with Cam for legroom?
Depends. I saw that. Where was the flight going? How long was the flight?
It's a 10-hour flight.
Ooh.
I need more.
Yeah. Why is Cam Newton having a legroom issue on a 10-hour flight?
Like, he should be in first class, right?
Right.
Yeah. But it's one. Have you ever booked a class?
No.
Not booked a class. Booked the flight. Like, he's got money to where
I mean, yeah, I booked the flight, but I've never even thought about getting, like, an upgrade or anything.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, he's like, I want to go to Paris tomorrow. Or I don't know where he's going. I want to go to Paris. So I go and I book the best. And somebody books him a flight and they get him the ticket that's available. Like, the flight was probably booked. All first class was gone. But I tell you this much, right? People are like, well, he paid more for it. Cool. Negotiate. I tell you what, once I've incurred the expense and I've flown on a 23-hour flight. In coach, because I couldn't, that's all I could afford. So I couldn't afford anything else. But if you tell me you're giving me $1,500 cash, I may try to see if I can get it to $2,500, three racks, because I know you got it. Watch me get this money. Because I know when I go over there, now I got plan money. I got more money.
And you can upgrade on the way back.
You feel me?
Apparently, by the way, he missed his flight.
So that's what happened?
Yeah, that's why there was, like, he was having to get a second flight or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But, I mean, I get the guy, listen, like, somebody was like, well, you know, he should have, obviously, if he got that seat. Actually, I don't think I'll ever be that rich. Most rich people I don't know Shaq Khan.
That rich to do what?
Like, to be able to just say, I'm, man, $1,500.
Oh, I got you.
Most rich people I know are the cheapest people I've ever met. Watch them get that money. Anytime they get an opportunity to make some money, they're going to take that opportunity to get some money.
The 10-hour flight, though, makes
That's
a
long.
Difference.
Yeah. That's long. And I don't know how tall this guy was. I don't know if this guy was like 5'9".
Because you know the dude probably booked that flight like a year ago for that row.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't first class even, was it?
No, it was
like the exit row
it was
or something?
The front of the poor people part.
Yeah.
In Cam Newton terms.
And that dude booked that flight 10 months ago just so he get that row.
And he's like, oh, this long flight, I'm going to have all this space to myself. I got a nice book. I'm going to have a couple drinks.
And then Cam comes up and there's people
with his goofy-ass hat on.
People recording.
Hey, man, let me get that seat, dog. Here's $1,500.
Is that what he said?
I'm sure he said it like that.
It was looked more a lot more calm than
but,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But he did look goofy as hell. He looked goofy. He always looks goofy.
Did the guy know who Cam was?
Probably not. Probably didn't care.
Now, some of these people who are making it more than what it is, I think that guy just looked at
him. Dude, sometimes when you're at the airport and you're like having to deal with everything, you got to deal with an air, and then you're knowing you're about to take a 10-hour flight, I don't care who it is. Don't mess with me, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with
you. Don't talk to me.
Especially when there's somebody behind me with their phone out recording.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to stand my ground on this one. No.
Like, am I about to become some viral video for no reason?
Two things that are going to happen because they were on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I doubt very seriously that's all the cash that Cam had on him. But if that was all the cash that Cam had on him, there's all kinds of – there's Venmo, Cash App,
how about this?
PayPal.
When we land, I'm going to need more. Straight up.
I'm just going to be like, bro.
Go to the ATM.
Bro, you think you catching Cam Newton if he wants to run?
I know where his bags are coming out at.
Ain't very much you can run. Like, nobody's that.
We're all gonna that going to be going to the same baggage claim.
No, he's
very
when he gets out.
Very true. Yeah. What I'm saying is, the only question I have in all of that is that there were at least three people on that row. And then there were three, then I think it was the three-row plane or whatever. So there was like nine people that he could have asked. Like, why didn't anybody else take up? If I would have heard... 1500. Hey, you tall guy with the Curious George hat.
Curious George.
Weird looking dude. Hey,
1450.
Me, please.
Yeah,
please. 1450. Where are you sitting at? Like the minute he turned that down. Watch me get this $1,500. That's a mortgage for some people. Like that's what people. I'm like,
that's like, 2 months of rent.
To
easy.
Be that rich that you turning out mortgages.
Yeah.
We're going to get to the same we're going to get to that destination at the same time. And I know he's a pro player. I'm like, hey, man, listen, $1,500 in an ambient, and we good. Because once you go to sleep, once you really settle in on the plane, you done. And then it's like me, I'm a wide
guy. But the other thing y'all aren't taking into account is where was Cam's seat? Did he have like middle row?
Nah.
Did he have middle seat, you know?
Fair.
I hope everybody on the flight was looking out closely at their laptops before they got off.
He talked about that situation too. Apparently, Cam bought the laptop from somebody who stole. I didn't know that was the case.
No, yeah, me neither. I just thought he stole.
Just stole the laptop.
That makes me respect him more
because remember, stealing laptops is where Herbs draws the line.
Well, Herb's a bit of a disciplinarian.
Got
possession
two
possession of
got
stolen
two
property is fine, but just stealing the property never cool.
Oh, man. But my other hate o'clock is, and I'm, these commitment videos, and these I'm all for the pomp and circumstance. Do whatever this is your moment. Cool, do your thing. But do we have to disrespect the other schools?
I haven't seen any videos.
Tennessee just got to commit.
Okay.
And it was between Tennessee and Miami, and a lot of Miami fans thought that this three-star cornerback, Keyshawn something, because it seems like everybody's name is Keyshawn. Keyshawn must have been a popular name 18 years ago.
He was, like, the most exciting receiver for a little bit.
But
Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me the damn ball, Keyshawn. He goes in, he has all this Miami stuff on, he has the U gloves on, and he's going through workouts and he's showing all this stuff. Has a Miami, I think, not Paradise, he had a Miami shirt on.
No.
He takes the Miami shirt off.
Damn.
And it's Tennessee. And then it goes into,
That's disrespect.
I don't that like is. That. I really don't
no,
like
I'm
that.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That's...
Like if it comes down to my son and he's committing between different schools, if we do the hat thing, like once if we make it a sign today, that's fine. Like you got your different hats, that's cool, do your thing. But if we're gonna make a video and we're gonna early commit and we know we're gonna do this, like I don't wanna burn any bridges because I don't know who these people are gonna like you don't ever know when you're gonna see these people again.
What if he had another Miami shirt on under the Vol shirt?
That would have been then I'd be like, dude, just don't you doing too much. Just commit to the school. Go to the school. Congratulations. Go to the school that you want to go to.
It's almost like these kids like the attention, James.
Well, that's what – I can't just blame social media, but it's always been like that. But it's just like when Willie Williams went to Miami and he wanted to like try to
– He was supposed to be the man.
Call Bobby Bowden on the phone and get it recorded. And and Bobby knew already at that point, and he was just like, no, I'm not going to answer the phone. I know you're going to Miami. So it's just, I just don't get that.
Is there a bigger bust of all time than that guy? Jeez. He was supposed to be the man.
Are y'all talking about? Yeah,
Willie Williams is a linebacker.
Because I'm watching this Cam Newton video for the, like, I wouldn't have taken it.
You wouldn't or would have?
I wouldn't have. He's dressed, like,
because of how he's
dressed. What the hell is he?
He's a jester.
I don't know if those are real bills or not. That seriously looks like a thrift store shirt he's got on.
Like, why is this counterfeiting guy bothering me?
Look at, somebody was more likely to look at him and go, yo, are you Lil Nas X? Than Cam Newton.
Would you take $1,500 from Lil Nas X?
If I knew who he was, but if I didn't know who he was and he walked up, I mean, in Wranglers that are too big.
By the way, that performance was amazing at the BET Music Awards. Billy Ray's not doing this right. Billy Ray needs to take this momentum and drop a little quick album. Like a mixtape. I don't know if country music does
that. What makes you think that he can? He's had one song before this in 30 years.
And what makes you think he needs to? Like, Achy Breaky Heart was so big.
That's literally the only song he's ever had.
Why not make more money?
You don't think he's been trying to write a song for 30 years?
Get Little Nas.
Look at the lyrics of Achy Breaky Heart and tell me that he's some lyrical genius that can just write an album.
Whatever, whoever, if he didn't write his lyrics to Old Town Road.
Yeah, the lyrics are.
His thing to Old Town Road was cold. Like, or just
is the secret about Nashville and country music. None of the big name artists, well, not none of them, but most of them, they don't write their own music. The guys who live in the biggest houses in Nashville are the writers.
Music in general.
So, but he was good? Billy Ray was good?
Yeah, it was a good little thing. People was rocking out. You should have seen all the black people dancing. They were in singing it like it was the gospel.
Denny, did you know the BET Awards were this weekend?
I knew because Twitter told me.
Oh. That's the only reason. Like, why? Who? I don't need to watch an award show. I watch it through Twitter. They tell me all the cool things that are going on.
Apparently, it was something about, was Cardi B there?
Oh, sure.
And somebody else was there, and it was like, there was some beef or something?
Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. I don't know if that's what it was. But
yeah, apparently there was
I didn't even know it was yesterday, and I could have easily said that Cardi B was there and there was beef.
That was what I saw on Twitter is I'm keeping my eyes peeled on this. I'm like, okay, well, Twitter, let me know if something goes down.
I mean, nothing went down.
I heard Cardi's, now she's saying that, like, or who was the one that her feet got all swolled up because of all the plastic surgery? So when she goes on a plane, I think it is Cardi B, her feet swell up like, oh, it's so disgusting. Look it up right now.
I don't know if that has anything to do with plastic surgery, but a lot of people.
Like, that's what she blames.
Would you take $1,500 from Cardi B?
$1,500, yes.
She might drug you, though.
In a heart, come on.
Didn't she drug her some of her Johns?
Wasn't that her thing? That was the rumor, but like, if you're dumb
enough
to do that.
The rumor, she said she did it.
I'm saying if you're dumb enough to like go home with a stripper, then bless your heart.
No, she wasn't a stripper. She was a prostitute.
No, she was a stripper. She was a stripper.
She said that she used to drug Johns. Like,
fine. Maybe she was both. I don't know. Maybe she was an entrepreneur. But I definitely know she hates her
because of that. I mean,
I definitely know there's videos that are leaked on Twitter of her scripting. But
I'm sure she did both.
I go to eat my hot wings, my lemon pepper wets, and that's the only thing. That's the only people who are getting money out of me at one of those adult male. I'm gathering.
Cafe Risque.
My favorite. Lemon pepper.
But nah, man. Just BET Music. That's my award shows in general. They're so wild.
It's easily got to be the best one.
They got to have
Lil
Nas.
Is it even close?
They got to have Lil Nas X at the CMAs. They had Pitbull at the CMAs. They can at least have Old Time. I know they hate it.
What's Pitbull doing?
I don't know why. I still don't understand why Pitbull was at the CMAs.
Pitbull's doing a free concert in Orlando. Like, things gone that south for Pitbull?
Nah, they just doing a free concert.
Taking donations.
I know he's getting paid, but he ain't getting paid. Like, he used to be like
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, he used to be like, dang, what's the guy we said we wanted to go see? Bruno Mars.
He was way bigger than Bruno for a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he is the man.
Dude, Bruno is.
He did like. Two halftime shows and
Bruno's holding it down for the little people, man.
That's true. Bruno's done a couple halftime shows as well. Maybe I'm not giving him his due respect.
Mm. Who's taller, Bruno Mars or Rohan Marley?
That's a good question.
Hey, let's get to this Matt Hayes thing on Bleacher Report.
Matt Hayes guy. I hope, does Matt get paper? Is Matt get on salary with Bleacher, or does he get?
Dude, I don't know. I just work with the guy. I don't ask people I work with about their.
I just want to know because I think I helped, but I'm trying to get this man because this
think
article
it's per click. I guarantee it's not per click
because this article right here would break them because he pissed. He made one fan base. Half the fan base loves him. Half of them hate him. Texas A&M it definitely ain't like. Chad might have cost him.
Is Chad a Texas A&M guy?
It was something. Chad used to do a lot of stuff with Gridiron Line with.
Yeah, Chad's an Auburn guy.
Okay, my bad.
Oh, his wife went to A&M.
Yeah, I'm saying something was with A&M. Everybody else is picking on him, but it's bottom line is people clicking it. It's like a 4,000 word essay.
As a journalist, though, I think you want that half the people are pissed off and half the people aren't. I think that's the perfect.
So rise and fall of FSU football in this. Entitled The Mess Jimbo Left. We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
So later this week, Wednesday. So this all came about today, by the way. I will be gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Don't you love this? He goes from bragging about how his Cal Ripken like work streak, and then all of a sudden he just
Iron
takes
Man.
Time and time off.
Here's I'm gonna say you're right. But here's the thing that really stinks is I was legit wanting to take a week off in August and do nothing, like absolutely nothing, and I was picking August because that's when my busy time slows down. Because what I didn't want to do is take a week off of radio, JJ, and then still work 12 hours in my other job.
You want to be off, go out with the family.
Or just chill, vacay. Whatever. Go play golf, whatever. So I was going to do this in August. James was going to do it later in July and just be done with it. And now all of a sudden I had to take last Friday off because I had a situation with... Yeah, well, I came for the last hour. But yeah, I had a situation with my staff at Six Points and I had to be there. And then today I find out I'm going to IMG and working Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So now I don't even know if I'm going to take the time off in August. But anyway.
Are they going to tell you all the IMG secrets? Oh, my God.
The IMG secrets?
Yeah.
There's IMG secrets?
Yeah, you know.
I don't care what they tell me as long as the check clears. but all that to say, you know what I'm doing Wednesday morning? The drill.
Like you're on the whole show?
I'm coming in at 8.
Who's on?
Just me and Hick. Me and Hicken.
I don't get to do the drill.
You really gonna go there? How many times did you do the midday thing?
Oh, good point.
So Jeff's out of town this week?
I guess so.
Dude, everybody at this station, man. Except for me. I'm here. I'll be here.
Yeah, and then next week there's, I don't know, what are we doing?
Like I don't six even to, know.
I got the schedule today.
We got random ass hours. This is why I told you guys last week. I'm not giving away anything unless you download that app and you screenshot it. And you
Patreon.
It on. That's the best way to find out, best way to listen to it.
By the way, before we move on, you brought up Cal Ripken and his Iron Man streak. Have you heard the conspiracy theory about like how the streak was kept going that includes Kevin Costner? Have you heard this?
No.
Oh, my God. So one time, his wife, Cal Ripken's, apparently was cheating on him with Kevin Costner. He found this out or caught them or something and was so distraught that he was like, I can't play. We got a game tonight. Like, I just found out my wife is with Kevin Costner, the movie star. And so they had to come up with a lie, the Orioles, and said that the lights weren't working that night. And, like, the whole game had to be canceled. It had to be delayed till another day. And that caused him to be able to keep the streak going. Look it up. I can't believe you never heard of that one. It's one of my favorite sports conspiracies.
I mean, if that's true, that's some serious pull.
Oh, dude. When you're Cal Ripken Jr.
Baseball has, for a sport that sucks, has some of the best stories.
How dare you?
We missed it.
How dare you?
We missed it a couple weeks ago. It was the anniversary of the no hitter that my man threw, completely stoned.
It was actually a perfect game.
My bad. Even better.
Doc, Dwight
remember,
Gooden? Dwight,
no, remember yeah. the guy? Doc.
Or, well, yeah, maybe it was what a no-hitter. I might be thinking of David Wells. He pitched a perfect game when he was, like, super hungover the night before.
No, it was no, Doc he's, something.
Oh, you're not thinking Doc Gooden. No, 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 no. You're thinking of.
I told you the story
We looked
here,
it up, yeah.
And it was like, he was like, man, I was high. he, like, the,
was it Doc Ellis?
Shocked Doc Ellis. I'm shocked he was a
yeah
he
Doc
was,
Ellis.
He was able to like how when you listen to how many drugs he
LSD.
My man said she was like he's like hey baby you got a pitch today nah that's not till next week
yeah
you
yeah.
know it's today he was like I was high he's like then I went to the dugout and the lady who normally gave us our pills was standing there she was like you want some and I took three or four of them and he just kept popping pills the whole game.
God bless him for coming out with this story.
He said the ball was all kind of different sizes coming back at him. he was throwing at aliens and zombies. It was the greatest story ever. And he did it in with rollers in his head.
My favorite baseball drug story, it's sort of very sad, but after the Mets, because I hate the Mets so much, it's one of my favorites. When the Mets won the World Series in 86, one of their best players, Daryl Strawberry, was watching the parade on television from a crack house getting high.
Oh, boy. That may be when you need help.
Oh, he definitely needed help.
When you can't even make
But the guy could hit, bro.
Oh, yeah? Somebody that people are saying is high is Matt Hayes.
Oh, damn.
I mean.
How dare you? My show's getting no respect.
My man just said, you know what? This ain't on Willie. This is 100% on Jimbo.
He did not say that. That's okay, let me furthest read. From the truth.
Okay. But want to know who's really blamed for this mess in Tallahassee? Look no further than former coach Jimbo Fisher.
Did you read the entire thing? He says a lot in that article.
It's long.
Matter of fact, take
it's too long. I'm not reading the whole thing. You got my click.
Here it is from the man. Takeaways from FSU's piece, other than the mess that Taggart inherited. Taggart admits he made mistakes, including the offensive staff that hurt players' development. He's excited about the offense under Kendall Briles. It's year two moving forward, no looking back.
Well, no, I know that, but that's not what Matt Hayes said saying.
That's what Matt Hayes just said. He tweeted that.
Matt Hayes is saying in this article that, I mean – I just read it. It says, look no further than former coach Jimbo Fisher.
You also just said, I'm not reading
it. I'm not. I roll. Look. Okay. So, real talk. I'll be honest.
You're a scroll reader.
No, not even.
Headline.
Well, here's what I do. Is I look at the headline, I read the first little bit, and if I see that this is going to be long-winded, then I will go to the bottom and see how long it takes me. And if it takes me more than, like, two rolls in the mouse, I'm a hit eject.
You're out.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Got my click, though, Matt. Got my click.
You're a busy man.
Not right now. Like, I could have read it, but I see words, like, unequivocally, and it's – Matt's getting – Matt really dug into this. I'm sure it's good work. but I did read this part. He says he goes into – let's see, let me find. Former assistant says, we were Clemson before Clemson. A former assistant to Fisher at FSU says, we were the team that had caught Alabama, was getting ready to pass them. Then it all fell off the cliff. And he says, right into the lap of Taggart, the fresh-faced 42-year-old former college quarterback who walked in the city, and then yada, 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 yada. Says, the dream quickly dissolved to a nightmare of a first season. There were academic deficiencies and recruiting failures, all of which you have said. There was dysfunction on the field and in the locker room, within his coaching staff, and in the classroom, soiling everything. And says, not that Fisher will acknowledge his part in creating that separation. The now Texas A&M coach told Bleacher Report in May, I have no comment on that. I loved my time at FSU. We left the program in good shape with good players. Is that just a canned answer that every former coach gives?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to ever say, yeah, I left them crap. But to,
I left the cupboard dry. Sorry, guys. Peace out.
But you could say.
To Jimbo's defense, and people, I don't do this enough, I guess. If Jimbo would have stayed, I think we would have probably had another and been focused, we would have made a bowl game last year. But the writing was on the wall that he had made some mistakes and that he had been hadn't been focused, and he recruited lazy. It was very similar to you always bring this up, is Jimbo Fisher, FSU's Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to go back to the Zach Smith podcast, Meyer, and I knew this too, Meyer went from recruiting players that fit his system to just going out and getting whoever he could because he could.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not work. Like, so Jimbo was just, you know, one, he really neglected the offensive line, the trenches. But he was bringing in guys that were high ranked, so you think that they're going to be good. But they fit his pro style of system a lot. Now, where Tag made a lot of mistakes was he took a complete 180, and it's a way. It's a couple of different ways. You can kind of slowly pick at the Band-Aid, and it'll come off eventually, but it won't hurt as bad. Or you can just rip it off.
Mm-hmm.
And what Tag did was just rip it off, but didn't do the proper maintenance to the wound. But, and you can say because he couldn't. Now, the APR is a situation that really, that's solely on Jimbo. Jimbo didn't make those guys go to class. And you guys know I have relationships with a lot of former players that were during that era. And without throwing guys under the bus, the guy was like, man, you know, he should have got rid of people. I said, well, y'all should have graduated. I was like, if y'all would have graduated, he could have probably got rid of some players. But, again, it's not absolving anything that Taggart did. At the end of the day, he took the job. Maybe he didn't know all the skeletons in the closet, but he took the job. And getting 11 players on the field has nothing to do with Jimbo Fisher. Now, that does have to do with the coaches that you hired and the responsibilities that you gave them. But I think everybody thought that this was just a nice, clean handoff, and it wasn't.
You always mention the APR, Academic Progress Report. Now, you always said it was bad. I didn't realize it was this bad. They were last?
Bro.
Among Power 5 programs?
Bro, forget that. We almost were to the point where we went on sanctions.
Wow.
And there were discipline issues. And, like, he put a lot on Jameis and whatever. That's easy. That's easy. But there were other players who got away with murder. Not literally.
You can't say that because of the Gators, bro.
Yeah, but they got away with a lot of things, and Jimbo kind of lost a little bit of control. And I give Jimbo the benefit of the doubt with this. After kind of like what you just said about Kevin Costner, like that kind of hit Jimbo, and it would hit any person
mm-hmm.
that's working nonstop like that. You have to worry about things that you normally wouldn't, like, I got to pick up my kid. I got to split custody with my kids.
Oh, so he went through a divorce. I didn't even know that.
She had an affair.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who she allegedly had the affair with. Was
somebody that worked for him?
No.
That too. But
he did?
There was multiple. But it was a rival. A former rival star that was a Tallahassee prep baller. That went to the University of Florida.
Significant younger than
that's
Jimbo.
My age.
That went to the University of Florida?
Yes. Yeah.
And he's my age, a couple years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But
what's she looking like?
Yeah, just go Google Candy Fisher.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, though, it's a redundant story. It's great to get clicks now. It's the only thing that's good is that it's the first national person that's taken this stance. And a lot of the beat writers, they ganged up on Jimbo, but it wasn't the same level of introspective or research that Matt actually took the time to do. Like, Matt spent time in Tallahassee, went to Texas, and I know people who've coached for Jimbo, and I remember hearing stories while Jimbo was still there about Jimbo and what he does. In particular, when I wrote a certain article that ended up being true, I mean, even though I say it's true because when Jimbo left, the only people in that article that I said he was keeping on FSU staff all went with him to Texas A&M. But Jimbo read that article to the staff. And I remember that day I told you everybody mm-hmm. was calling me?
Yeah.
And I got some calls in there, and I'm like, hey, guys, y'all know I'm not writing nothing that I ain't get, mm-hmm. that I wasn't given.
Mm-hmm.
So it was but I didn't realize that Jimbo actually – so Jimbo – I know for a fact that Jimbo has read this article to his staff at Texas A&M. And Jimbo was probably not that happy about it right now.
It makes sense, though, because when I was in Tallahassee for spring practice, it was the day before pro day, before they had their pro day. And I'm telling you, Willie Taggart spent a good 3 or 4 minutes, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're sweating after a practice and sitting there, it seems like forever as a player, telling those guys, I don't care if you're best friends at pro day, you're not missing class to come to this pro day. We have your schedules, and if I see you at this and you're supposed to be in class, there's consequences.
He really went – when he first got there, it was something that I always thought – I thought was weird, is how much they harped on the attendance record and how this was the best semester in FSU history, like as far as grades went. Mm-hmm. Coming off of last spring.
About Taggart, yeah.
Taggart. And I was just like, man, why are they really harping? And then I'm like, why aren't we getting rid of some of these guys that we know probably should have got rid of? And then when I kept making that on social media, I kept writing about it. And then somebody said, hey, have you ever thought that maybe he can't get rid of some of these guys? And then that's when I started, when I got the information, like if you noticed, probably around like October, November time is when I really started talking about they need these guys to graduate. Mm. Like, he can't just get rid of them because they still count.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, I don't like Florida State, but I've told you many times. I like Willie Taggart. It sucks to walk into that. That's a tough way to get your dream job.
Yeah.
You know?
But there's some things in that, like knowing that tag, again, there's some things, it doesn't have to be this hard. And to get to the point where Taggart is, you have to be very confident to the borderline of arrogant. Like, there's no college, there's no Power Five coach that is successful that doesn't have a bit of arrogance to him. But you got to learn, you got to adapt. And I think when you go to some of these schools, a Florida, a FSU, I'll say Miami, you have to understand that the traditions that they have are different than anywhere else. And I think he knew it as a fan, but I don't think he understood the overwhelming effect that it has.
So if I read you this headline, tell me if you want to know more. Blake Bortles can't keep a starting job in 2019, but he could have been MVP in 1969.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to that coming up next.
I tell you the difference between me and them. They're trying to get the ones and trying to get them in.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Yes, I'm flipping around today looking for stuff to talk about because it's the end of June. Okay, when I say flipping around, it's like I was at a red light. Like that was the show prep. And SB Nation says, which current players belong in the NFL of 50 years ago? And then the very next thing is Blake Bortles can't keep a starting job, but he could have been MVP in 1969. And so they basically just go along these things of why, like Trent Richardson says, they say that he would have been.
Would he have been allowed to play back then?
Why? Oh.
Yeah.
Said if he had been in the NFL in the 60s, he could have had a Jim Brown-esque career. His defensive tackles weighed less than 250 pounds back then. And here's what it says about Bortles. It says, Bortles will still be the quarterback of the Jaguars if he knew how to avoid big mistakes. Since he entered the league five, that's actually not true. Like, he also would need to know how to throw a spiral. But since he entered the league 5 years ago, he's thrown an NFL most 75 interceptions. In Jacksonville, Bortles bounced passes off of feet and helmets and didn't have much regard for the line of scrimmage. His growing list of bloopers and turnovers eventually got him jettisoned from the team.
Jettison. He's using 1950 terminology.
Yeah. Says if Bortles could have played a few decades earlier, his turnover issues and 80.6 career passer rating probably wouldn't have been a big deal. In 2018, no player threw more than 16 picks, and there were 22 starting quarterbacks with a passer rating over 92. Yet Hall of Fame quarterback George Blanda threw 42 interceptions as a member of the Oilers in 1962.
In one season?
And was still an all-star.
He threw how many?
42.
How do you throw?
I didn't even know they were throwing 42 passes back then. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, look up Joe Montana's stats. You'll be very underwhelmed. There's a lot of those guys.
Bart Starr led the NFL with an 89 passer rating.
Joe Namath.
Yeah, Joe Namath. It says, and during an era when Fran Tarkenton pioneered the idea of a dual-threat quarterback, Bortles would have thrived. It says, for all his faults as a passer, Bortles is an excellent runner. His career 6.3 yards per carry average is one of the best a quarterback has ever had.
And he's tough. He, like, never missed games. So that's perfect for back then when there's, like, no rules about hitting.
Oh, that's a made-up name. Okay, never mind. They were trying to compare him to somebody. I was like, who is this? Yeah, it says Bortles wouldn't have made the same money in the 60s, but he'd have a way better chance of having Hall of Fame aspirations.
What would Blake have to do right now to make the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it'd be impossible.
Really?
It'd be impossible.
Like back-to-back MVP seasons?
It'd be impossible.
No, it wouldn't be impossible.
It'd be absolute.
Dude, he's a late bloomer.
I'm pulling for him.
If he comes out and he wins two Super Bowls, he's in.
Whoa. There's been quarterbacks that have won a couple. No, there hasn't. If you win two Super Bowls, you're in the Hall.
Yeah. See Eli. Yeah. Eli be in the Hall. Vontaze Burfict is on this list. I can completely see that.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been dominant back then. And there were no rules. Yeah, no, I just thought that was interesting, man. Bortles getting some love from SB Nation. Kind of already missed Blake.
What do you miss about him?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
It's easy to say that because it's the off season. It's like, yeah, I don't miss watching him play quarterback for the Jags.
It's like we finally got our credentials, and I think I only saw like one interception the whole dang OTAs. If Blake would have been there, we'd have seen some action.
Have some stuff to talk about.
Man, we miss Blake. Misses bar hopping, alleged kids. The text line used to be jumping.
Very alleged.
Now we've got a pediatrician.
Bro, I mean, the same.
Probably drives an electric car.
I heard a great story about him dumping some chick at like a Taco Bell at like 3 in the morning, just nice. Leaving.
Nice.
The text line, alleged. After every single game, the same dude would send us the same picture of Blake allegedly sitting at a bar. And like
as if it's like a live picture.
Like, dude, you have sent the same picture for 15 straight weeks. They were in Oakland. Like, that's not Blake, and he's over 21.
Maybe that's just his way of saying, like, this guy needs to work harder.
What do you want us to do? Yeah.
I mean, he's living it up right now. You better believe it. Cali, June, backup.
Yeah.
Six mil?
Oh, yeah, from the Jags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owners are talking about improving Hard Knocks by adding more behind-the-scenes shows. Since NFL teams don't like participating in Hard Knocks, the owners are going to make more teams do it, I guess.
I don't like that term that you just used.
What?
The O word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not good. Yeah,
the governors.
Yeah, call them the governors. Like, that sounds so
the
much
CEOs.
Better.
The lords. I am the lord of the Golden State. The Lord of Toronto.
They are literally talking about allowing the NFL to force any team to do a show. How's that going
to
go with Bill Belichick?
With you, I'm really not interested in behind the scenes Bill Belichick. I really don't want to see Hard Knocks Jacksonville unless I can really see what's the real, which we're not going to see the real.
Mm. We're back tomorrow night, just an hour later, 10 to midnight. So we will see you guys then. It's the Sports Den brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, coming to you from the ThinMD Med Spa Studios and presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. You guys have a great night.